That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
it's
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning, and that old wheel has rolled around again. We welcome you to the Radio Ranch here this February. Oh, what day is today? The 8th. Saturday, February the 8th, I think it is. And it's a snowy morning here at the Radio Ranch. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And I'm having some phone issues trying to get John the Ramrod hooked up, but we'll work on that in a little bit. And we'll get opened up with prayer, and then where we go from there, it's anybody's guess. But Jason, would you open us up in prayer this morning?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we're grateful to be here. And we just ask, Father, that you guide us and direct us in our thoughts, that you give us the words to speak, and that you just protect us from the Antichrist forces that come against your people in so many ways, shapes, and forms. We pray, Father, we pray on that full armor of God, having done everything to stand firm. We gird our loins with truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We put on the helmet of salvation. We pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we pray and petition for the saints, and we pray that you just guide and direct your people across this land, that you be with them, that you lift them up, that you continue to open their eyes and allow them to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. Help them to grow in truth and
yes,
grow closer to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, John said they're having some phone line problems over there, but we'll just see how the morning goes. And, well, Jason, how are things? I heard a little bit of your program last night. Couldn't get all of it. I was listening on my iPhone, but got a pretty good bit of it. Sounded like you had a lot of callers and kind of covering a few different subjects. Anything come out of that you want to share with everybody this morning?
No, not really. It seems like there's a lot of things going on. We've had a lot of cold weather here lately, and it's interesting. I mean, it's kind of funny because, you know, we've actually got calls from all over the place talking about the cold weather. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of odd because it's wintertime. I mean, usually, you know, it's not uncommon to get 20 below, 18, 20 below zero in the wintertime.
Right.
I mean, that's really, you know, happens usually every year. But I don't know, for some reason, I don't know if the news is making a big deal out of it or what. The other day, we hit 18 below here. And I think that 19 below for that was the record low for that day, and that was like in 1908 or something. And, you know, so it came close to record breaking, but it still didn't break any records. It was kind of just kind of interesting.
Yeah, I've noticed that very thing that we've had quite a few people asking, you know, about the weather and calling in to report on it, but... It, and I think part of it is, like you said, part of it is the media that they, you know, they named the storms now. There was one storm last week, they called it Maximus, you know, one winter storm.
What'd they call it?
Maximus, you know, like the Roman gladiator or whatever. And
this one's Orion.
Orion?
That's what's hitting us right now, and it goes all the way from the West Coast, you know, through the... But yeah, they're naming them all. I don't really get it either.
Yeah, I think it takes it away from God, because if Maximus is doing this, then it's not God doing it. But you know, they've named hurricanes for years, but now they're naming these storms, and I don't know why, but they are doing that. And then the other is, it seems like that we're sure seeing these weather extremes. I know I saw a thing last week, and I think we talked about it on the review of the news, that, you know, in 2011, you had these, you know, record droughts on one side of the country and record rains on the other. And then in 2012, it swapped. And the places that had record droughts, not just drought and no rain, but record droughts, had record rain. And then it was record drought on the other side. And then, you know, last year it kind of swapped out again, like a third and a third. And so it I think that may be what's on people's minds, is that it is wintertime. You know, we get snow, we get 20 below, Michigan gets 20 below, Wisconsin gets 20 below, you know, New York gets hit with snow. I mean, that's how it happens. I think that it's just that, like when Atlanta gets hit with something in Birmingham and they're certainly not used to it, and it all but shuts them down. I think it's getting the people's attention.
Well, I was talking to a guy the other day, and I asked him, I said, do you remember the days when it got cold, you know, in the fall, and going into winter, it got cold, and it snowed, and there was snow on the ground, and it stayed there all winter long, and melted off in the spring? And he said, yeah, I do. And, you know, it's been a while since we've had that. We really, for the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, went into some, you know, a different climate. But it used to be like that out here in Colorado. I mean, it's snow. You get snow on the grounds. You get snow in the mountains. You get snow. It'd get cold, and it'd stay cold until spring. And then it'd start to warm up, and the snow would melt off. And that's the way it used to work, and it's just so different than that we've had for the last, I'm thinking, probably 15 years at least.
Yeah, that's kind of been the way it is, and every year, you know, you have the old guys in town that say, boy, it's gonna be a big one this year, you know, and then I can tell, what is it, last year, the year before, Richard, when the, you know, neighbor up the road was saying there's a lot of these little bugs around, and whenever they're around, you know it's gonna be a hard winter. Well, the winter kind of came and went, and it wasn't that hard, you know, but but anyway, there's always stuff like that, and I was watching, and they are making it, by the way, Jason, they are making a big deal about it on the news. I mean, I don't watch much news, but they are making a big deal about it every time. And but over in Sochi, you know, where they're having the Winter Olympic Games, it's not that cold. It's like 50 degrees, you know, for a high, you know, and I think they have, I don't know if it's man-made snow or snow shipped in, but they got snow on the you know, the ski slopes, but next to the slopes, it's like... it's dry, you know.
Really?
But what caught my eye, you know, and I really didn't know where Sochi was the other day, and I was watching the Weather Channel, and they had a person over there doing a live broadcast, but It's right on the Black Sea, right next to the Caucasus Mountains.
I was going to say it's in the shadow of the Caucasus Mountains.
It is where we come
from.
And so it perked me up. You know, I'm like, you know, and they're showing the areas and they're showing this, you know, and I'm, and the thought occurred to me that I'm surprised they haven't changed the name of the mountain range yet. You know, to get the Caucasus and the any form of Caucasian out of there. I mean, I really was sitting there thinking, I'm surprised they haven't changed the names of those mountains to something else, because they want the.
Well, now they will.
That's right. Good morning, John. We got John hooked up and.
Good morning. John, yeah, phone lines are down the pier. So.
Yeah, we were just talking about the weather a little bit, and Jason mentioned something that was really. You know, really outside the box. He said, you know, wintertime, you get snow and it gets cold. And people seem to have forgotten that. And, yeah, sometimes you get a real humdinger of cold and snow. And we sure have. You know, Kyle, you mentioned that Sochi, or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is.
That they've got probably the man-made snow on the slopes. You know, the Super Bowl was that way. They put it. You know, they wanted to have it there so they'd have it cold. It'd be a cold Super Bowl outside, not in a dome, but outside in the elements. And it was the warmest day of the year there.
God had other plans.
Yeah. And so it seems like he's certainly confounding the weathermen and you know, running things in the way that he wants to. And John, we were mentioning just about how they're naming these winter storms. You know, we had the polar vortex there at the end of January, and then since then it's just been Maximus was, you know, and between those two, there was the storm that comes once in a generation. And then, you know, what was it? Last year was the storm of the century, and then Maximus rolled through. And now Kyle had told us this storm system that's hitting us, they've named it Orion. And so who knows? Yeah. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's interesting though.
That it is, but it is wintertime.
It could be just the you know, by design of them giving them a name and them empowering them even more.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, could be.
You know, you give something a name, you know, you're going to have people talking about it. You're going to have people thinking about it. They're referring to it as a name, and that's empowering, and that has the ability to empower a storm.
Yeah. Well, I know these storms come from God Almighty, so. They're God's storms. We'll just, not that he needs empowering, but we'll empower him. Amen. Well, John, what's going on in your neck of the woods this morning, other than the phone lines out?
Oh, I don't know. I had to go out and get the dumb dog out there barking at something. Couldn't see what it was. So cold, real cold here. I don't know, how cold is it this morning, Jason? I don't know.
Yeah, we.
I know it's below zero, but I don't know what the actual final temperature is.
Wow.
Yeah, you guys got it colder the last couple of days than we do up here. It was 25, I think, when I left the house this morning. But I think over the pass, I think it gets quite a bit colder. At least yesterday, I noticed.
Yesterday, we had a heat wave, and it got up to 20.
Well, it's wintertime. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. One thing I saw in the news this week is that the Abomination did sign the farm bill. That's been a source of contention in some of the farming and ranching magazines, and as well as the people that get food stamps and supplemental help from the government like that, because those were looking to be put on hold. They're tied in, I guess, with the USDA and the food, you know, how the food stamps are tied in with the farm bill, because the farm food doesn't go to the people with food stamps, you know, but did get it signed and said they did. One thing I saw, they said that one thing they changed is they're not going to pay farmers for not planting crops anymore. And so, you know, you think, well, that's probably good, right? But why have they been paying farmers for not planting crops? You know, it's the same reason they pay people.
They're taking the seventh year off. They're trying to be biblical.
I don't know about that. I think it's the same thing if they pay people to not go to work. You know?
Yeah.
And anyway, so did see that the farm bill got signed. And
Does anybody know exactly what the farm bill is?
No.
I know. It's probably like Obamacare.
Yeah. They don't know. Yeah. 327 pages. Yeah, they don't know. There's enough, you know, there's enough of the senators and representatives and whatnot that have put in the little port projects, you know, for their hometown, or so that they're getting a kickback on it. And, you know, they're not going to read all through it because they'll read of somebody else is doing that, you know, and they know that the other people aren't going to read about them doing it. And so they just, I think that's one of the reasons that they don't. They just put it in, and they're told to sign it and pass it, and just send it to my desk. I'll sign it. Send it to my desk. And that's what they do. That's what
I know that I've talked to several farmers and ranchers lately, and they were telling me that this year was the last year that they were going to be able to write off their equipment, tractors, loaders, trucks, any kind of farm ranch equipment that they use. And so everybody was out buying new tractors and new loaders and new stuff. I mean, the people that used a lot of that stuff. And I'm not sure if that was had anything to do with the farm bill. I thought they said it was something else that went through. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but they were saying that, that before they've always been able to write off their tractors on their taxes, their ranch trucks, you know, any kind of machinery. And, usually that was always one of the things that, you know, they really looked forward to, was really helpful. And now, I think it was after, I can't remember when it goes into effect, sometime in 2014, but they're not going to be able to write any of that stuff off.
I think that's page 2032 in Obamacare. Yeah, I hear you. I saw this poll. I was reading an article about the other day about comparing people who read their Bible to people who use Facebook. And basically, they figure 22% of the people actually read their Bible more than twice a week, and 757 million users daily use Facebook. Not quite a fair comparison.
I'm surprised 22%. I mean, I don't know where they come up with that number, but it seems high to me from what I see.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's really nothing new under the sun. The reason that the Roman Catholic Church and everything was able to gain the kind of power that it had was because they kept the Bible from the people. And what have the churches done right now? They keep the Bible from the people, and the world is... What's that?
They'll have a 20-minute sermon on one little verse that they don't even know what it means. Let alone having people turn their Bibles to a page, or they don't ever do that. But
they put the verse in the bulletin typically, and read it right from the bulletin. You know,
and they'll bring a little bit of humor and a human interest story. You know, because it'll make that fat Baptist preacher, dirty bird up there on the pulpit, oh, he'll sound so good, and he appeals to, you know, their senses, and he makes the women deaconettes in the church, it makes them feel so good. I love the way it just touches my heart. Oh, if I could just explain to you how good he makes me feel. Oh, and that's what you get. And it is, John, it is taking the word of God away from the people again, and going back to a time that, you know, the people, they didn't know any better because they didn't have the word. And it's shame on us. We should know better because we have the word. We do.
Yep.
Hey, got a bit of a praise report. Got a phone call yesterday from a person in Ohio, never called in before, and he said, I've got one of your booklets in my hand. It's everything you wanted to know about gun control, but preachers were afraid to tell you. And I said, yes, sir, we carry that book. He said, how can I get 100 of them? Or he said, $100 worth. He said, I'm going to an NRA thing in a couple of months. And he said, I just sat down and read this morning. And he said, when I closed it, I had to call you. Hmm. And he said, I want some of these to pass out. And so we talked and worked a deal out. And so we're going to send him some on Monday. So that's a good thing. That's somebody that, you know,
that
seed was planted. Well, you back it up, and, you know, we got a brother back east that orders those in bulk and does that very thing, passes them out at gun shows and machine gun shoots and things like that. And that's what that brother did. And this guy told me after after he placed the order and we talked for a few minutes, and he said, hey, I just wanted to let you know where I came across this. And that's what he said. He said, I was at a machine gun shoot back in the spring or fall sometime last year. And he said, there's a guy standing there handing these out. I think it was. And he said, I just put it with the rest of the stuff I had there. He said, I got it out this morning and read it. And he said, it makes perfect sense, you know. And so, you know, you never know what seed you're going to plant. Plant the good seed. You get an opportunity to share the gospel. You get an opportunity to pass out a tract, to hand somebody our salvation cards. It's, you know, that has the three little questions about salvation. You never know. Whatever we can do, we are to do. And the seeds that are planted, you know, when you have a farmer that plants seeds, you know, he doesn't plant a seed and then turn around and look at it and stand there and wait. You know, he plants the seeds and he gets on to something else. And
it plants another seed.
And he plants another seed. That's right. You know, I think about the old story that many don't read about anymore and many don't know about it, but of Johnny Appleseed here in the States, whether it's folklore or not, there sure were apple trees all over the upper Midwest from the East Coast to halfway across the country. And I picture that, Johnny Appleseed going, and he'd plant the seed and move on. And I don't think he ever went back. And so, and that's what kind of came to mind when I heard this yesterday. This man called in and then, you know, let us know where he got the information from. And then he's doing the same thing. Now, I know that it was Brother Bill back there in Kentucky that passed him out. But I know he passes hundreds out. Not just these flyers, but others. And, you know, we don't pass them out to know what kind of fruit comes back, but we pass them out to get that truth out. And
more importantly, the ones on how to become a Christian in Acts 2:38 and don't miss out.
Right. Well, that's what I put in.
We'll
the
stick one of those seeds in, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And but, you know, we get the seed planted. You know, and that's what we do, and that's the Bible talks about that, you know. And so if you look at it, you know, the pastor put that booklet together. He was led by the Holy Spirit, preached a sermon, put the booklet together. So he put the booklet together, Bill passed it out, the guy calls in, you know, gets more, and it just kind of goes around that way. So anyway, just wanted to let everybody know, didn't get to send emails out to everybody, and wanted to share that with the remnant as well. But
circuit riding preacher still riding.
Amen. Amen. Plant the seed. And you never know what kind of fruit's going to come up. Well, guys, what do you say we open the phone lines up? 307-745-5913. If you're calling out this morning and if you got a comment or something. And John, you sent me a note here from this past week about the U.S. West facing the worst drought in 500 years. Didn't know if you had printed that out or not and taken a look at it, but it is. It's and we talked about it right before we got you on the radio this morning. The weather extremes. I mean, granted, it's supposed to be cold. It's wintertime, you know. It's not. We're not in Key Largo here, so we get snow and cold weather. But the extremes that we're seeing, and you know, I've seen things in California that they've cut water off to places. I saw where they had told in one area, they had told the farmers they usually wait till about now to see how much water they have in the reservoirs, and then they allocate out so much to different farmers. No allocation this year.
Reservoirs are dry.
No water for the farmers, and not for the whole state, but I saw it in some area, and that they're already telling restaurants to, you know, only serve water if people ask for it, and things like that, and you know, those are not the norm. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not business as usual. It's really not. Well,
and then they complain when they get snow and cold.
Yeah.
Well, we'll go to the phone lines real quick
this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Hi, Richard.
Good morning.
Hey, Joe calling. Something that you said a few minutes ago caught my attention. I thought I'd give a little bit of verification to Johnny Appleseed. He was a real man. His name was John Chapman. And I've got this book, Extraordinary Origins of Everyday Things. And it's full of neat stuff. And as a matter of fact, Johnny Appleseed, John Chapman, was good friends with Sam Wilson. And Sam Wilson is purported to be the original Uncle Sam. Huh. So they were childhood friends. John Chapman, this is in print, and there's references in the back, but the lore surrounding Chapman is that he was, back in the 1700s, he was a medicine man that was revered by the Indians, and it seems that he actually did go around planting apple seeds.
Pretty neat. Well, hey, thanks for the call. Thanks for verifying that for us.
Okay, then. Well, see you later.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, I remember reading about Johnny Appleseed when I was knee-high to an apple tree. How about that? Got another phone call here. Good morning.
Contraband now.
I'm sorry?
It's probably contraband now.
Yes, sir.
Probably is. Yeah, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. Apple seeds and the food... you sure it wasn't Monsanto that planted all those?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, what
Monsanto? That was one of the things I wanted to call about with all the dangers in the food and everything. Have you guys ever delivered a message on the... I mean, we have all these different types of prayer. The one that we're supposed to pray over our food, could you talk a little bit about that? Maybe give an example of the proper way to you know, pray over our food, even when we have like all these horrible things that we can't always escape from.
I tell you what, we'll sure do it. If you're listening online or on the shortwave, let me hang up so I don't get a feedback here, and we'll go there.
Thank you. You have a great day.
Okay.
Bless y'all.
All right.
It's kind of interesting. I just did a classic truth this week. Got one ready for Richard to finalize. But anyway, and Pastor Peters had a... either I think it was an email or a just snail mail letter, and somebody asking him how to pray for food, and you know, and obviously the guy told him how he prayed, and it was and Pastor Peter said on the air, he said really couldn't improve on it that much because it was already a good prayer, but he did clarify that you should always have God bless your food, and you should bless your food. And you should always, always thank him for your food. And these are things that we just take for granted that everybody knows, but everybody doesn't know. There's thousands of Christians out there that ignore blessing their food and having God bless their food, and because it's been taken away. It was taken away by their forefathers, you know, their grandmas or their dads or whatever. It used to be everybody would sit down in the evening time, at least I believe this, that when I say everybody, I'm talking generalities, of course, but would sit down at the dinner table and bless their food, offer thanks, and, you know, and then you can go, I mean, some, you can go a lot of different directions off that, but those are the main things that you do, because there is so much poisons in our food today that it's even that much more important that you have God bless your food and that you thank him for it and that you ask for the poisons not to harm you if there's any poisons in them. You know, go ahead, Jason, if you want to more comment more on that.
Well, and I think that it's, and I know one other thing that he did too was taught people how to, you know, to pray that, because we do have the poisoners out there that are poisoning our food. This man just brought up Monsanto, and, you know, they are poisoners. And, you know, since there's been so much of that, and we don't know who they are or where they are or what's in our food, with them, you know, changing the names of different things to and putting it in and calling it this, calling it one thing when it's actually another thing. You know, it's since all that started coming about, which is a problem that, you know, you really didn't have in years gone by, but it was important to him to, you know, pray for the poisons, any and all poisons, to be removed. And, you know, often he would have asked for it to be sent back to the poisoners, and, you know, sometimes just where our Heavenly Father sees fit. But you know, it's the scripture says that we can eat poison and live.
Yep.
And, you know, the enemies are master poisoners.
Yeah, and little did anybody know way back then in the year 30 A.D. or whatever it was when Mark 16, whatever was written, that we would have the poisoners in our midst the way we do today. You know, I mean, but boy, that makes a lot more sense. Because growing up, I used to think that meant, you know, if you swig down a carpet cleaner or something like that, you know. But now it's way different, you know. And
he knew.
He did.
He knew.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then we have that, you know, we have foods that are sanctified by the Word. You know, it's sanctified throughout the whole Bible. Clean foods and unclean foods. But with that said, a lot of the stuff that's sanctified by the Word is produced by ungodly men, you know, and produced with stuff on it that there shouldn't be on it, and, you know, so.
Yeah, or poisoners.
Yeah, they're poisoners, yep.
And, yeah, so anyway, I think that that's important to remember, too. You know, sometimes you just don't know where your food's coming from, especially you go into some of these restaurants and, you know, sometimes you don't know what you're eating. But I think that the important thing to remember too is when you pray it, believe it and have faith in it. You know, have faith that your prayers are heard and that they're answered. You know, and just walk in it.
Yeah, if we abide in Him and He abides in us, I think it says we can ask anything we want. And you know, that's not asking for the lottery, but it means that if we ask for that food to be cleansed, and we ask it to be just good nourishment for us, then it can be.
Well, we can even eat poison and it won't harm us.
Right.
When we have the right faith.
Yeah. Yep. We see that throughout the scripture. You know, the one, they were, what, making the soup or the stew, and whatever, poisons were put in there. And who was it, the apostle, was it Paul that was bitten by the asp?
Mm-hmm.
And just throw it back in the fire. You know, got more important things to do than to worry about those kind of things. So, well, phone line's ringing again. Let's try it. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, guys. This is Edie in North Carolina.
Good morning, Edie.
How y'all doing?
Doing well.
Every now and then, I listen to other radio shows. And this week I heard a program, and they were talking about that Snowden guy. And you know how you're hearing on the news how there was spying on girlfriends and ex-lovers and business competition and political rivals? Well, like, nobody didn't already know that. But they stopped just short, you know, what was the big deal? And it turns out this guy had interviewed Snowden and found out that it was the Masons that he was revealing. The you know, national Masonic group, how they're spread throughout the whole country. And they're starting from the bottom up. They're not coming from the top down. They're spying on their neighbors, you know. If they're mad at somebody, they put their list, you know, name on the list and everything. So it starts from the bottom working its way up to the top. And that's where they get their information. And the thing of it is, it's police, military, Baptist preachers, you know, everybody that's into Masonry. And the thing of it is the bigger the list is, you know, the bigger the money they get from Homeland Security. And, you know, for more spies and stuff. And the reason they need all them bullets, because the Masons are going to need some bullets when people start finding out who's been doing all this to them. And the thing about, the preacher had a sermon one time about, you know, Esau, when he gave up his birthright, how he had just come in from fighting with Nimrod.
Right.
And how he didn't care for his birthright because he had that magical apron or loincloth that God had made for
the coat.
For Adam and Eve. And that's what Masons wear. They think they're wearing the magical loincloth. And they wear that fez cap, you know, dipped in the blood of Christians. Yep. And they're really not Christians. I mean, they're the ones that are heading up these, what are they called? The teams that's on the churches, the clergy response teams. They come to, you know, they go to their temple meetings once a month or whatever, and then they go into the churches and lead the churches and teach them how to be on the clergy response team to get people to turn in their guns and to, you know, go happily and take your shot and go to the FEMA camps. And they like being cool because they know everything on everybody.
Well, Edie, I don't disagree with anything you've said. I just I think my response is, he who sits in the heavens laughs.
And yeah, that's what I thought.
We just laugh with him because we're washed in the blood, and you know we claim. You know, I picture in my mind's eye the young David holding the severed head of Goliath up. You know, or running toward him, saying that, you know, the battle is the Lord's, as he runs toward him with the right amount of stones, and so. You know,
well, I picture Gideon's, you know, they start fighting among themselves. Because, I mean, in their little rule books and stuff where they got, I mean, they've even got their laws when they take their swearing-in ceremonies and stuff, how it's okay to sleep with somebody's wife as long as it's not somebody that's got more rank than you do, you know, a higher degree. And I think all this is going to come out, and they're going to start, you know, swatting at each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Edie, we got another phone call, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Okay. And just like we have to have that right faith when we pray over our food, we have to have the right faith in, you know, when we hear those things, when we know that they work nonstop. They absolutely do, but it's all for naught. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Richard. Good morning, Wranglers. This is Tom in Texas.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. That was an interesting thing that Edie, what she was talking about. I've heard there's a FEMA clergy response teams. I know God would be laughing if y'all found one of them in your church.
Well, we're not saying we don't have a response team, but
yeah,
we don't. I don't think we're on. We don't get their postcards.
I think they. I remember times when Pastor Peters would kick people out of the church, and I'd only hear it on the radio or something like that, and he'd find that there was a little snake in there in the service, and he'd have him taken to the door. I mean, yeah. I'd be thinking if I was there, I'd be probably on the floor laughing just to hear him go off on some of those people.
Tommy, we had two guys visit one time, and. Things didn't look just right, and I think while we were singing, he had one of them stand up, and he frisked him like a cop would frisk you to see if he had a gun on him. You know, right there at the end of right there in the church, the term in front of God and everybody. And so, yeah,
you never know what some of them, you know, they go in there and do something, or send some berserker in there to do their dirty work. I've always prayed for every service y'all have, where everybody's gathered together like that, that God let nothing happen like that. And if they ever, anyone ever thinks that, let them find out they're going to be overdrawn.
Amen. Amen.
Another thing on praying over your food. The enemy never rests. I mean, we can look at, you can read the boxes, the labels, the everything, and there's always a little circle K or circle U, and they pray over your food.
Yeah,
kosher symbols. They definitely waste no time in praying over your food that you're going to eat. So even if it doesn't have physical poisons into it, it's definitely going to have their curses placed onto it.
Interesting point. You're right, but the majority of food out there has that on there, and they've made money on it.
Oh yeah,
they've made their half shekel.
I guess it's factored into the price or the price of what you pay is a part of the kosher tax to pay that rabbi for standing in, for being in that food production place to oversee of everything. I'd probably consider pork products kosher.
I don't know. I don't
look enough money. They probably would.
Yeah.
If it was, that's all it took. That's interesting. The story of Johnny Appleseed. I used to take French as a second language. I had a teacher that told me my last name in French means Appleseed. That's interesting. I never knew that. It means seed in several languages, but in French, actually, it's said to mean apple seed specifically. Interesting.
That is part of our history here in this nation.
No, I didn't. Chapman, of course, isn't my last name, but y'all know what it is.
Right.
All right.
Hey, thanks a lot. You have a great weekend. Thank you.
See y'all tomorrow, church. Bye-bye.
All right. 307-745-5913. And some interesting calls.
Yeah, you get secret societies out there, and you got, you know, like he's talking about these symbols and stuff that's on the boxes of food. We just can't forget that forces that are out there are nothing compared to our God. You know, we just got to remember that. You know, just not to be ignorant of those things, but just be aware that,
but not to fear.
Yeah, not fear.
Not to fear them. We can't.
And they're not. You know, I didn't get that out of the calls. I'm just saying that faith. You know, I mean, faith is the victory.
Yep. Amen.
Here, a story we talked about a couple weeks ago or something. Stratton, Ohio. Their Freedom from Religion Foundation. You know, coming after their crosses that have been up in the town for generations, and apparently a couple of the private homeowners adjacent to the town have figured out a way to remedy that. So the crosses that they're taking down in town, they're put placing in high prominent places on the outside of town on private property, and they're more seen than they ever were. So there's an example of Romans 3:28.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You know, we had mentioned it before. It might have been when we talked about that, how Russell down in Texas told us that when we visited him recently, that that's what people were doing there, was you know, either on their private property or buying just a small parcel, especially right off the interstate, and putting up a big 20, 30, 40-foot cross with lights on it, and as you know, to show that, hey, listen, the
I just got to figure out a way to make the Freedom from Religion pay for it over these
Yeah.
fees.
Yeah.
Well, I think we just start praying that God gives them what they want, freedom from religion in hell, you know?
Yeah, they're going to have it. They're going to have it. I saw a little quote the other day that I thought really applied, and it was, you know, the next time Satan reminds you of your past, remind him
of his future.
Of his future. And,
yeah, I saw that.
And, you know, I think that certainly applies to him, but it applies to his minions as well.
Yeah, the minions, I mean, Satan knows. I mean, the Bible says he knows he has the short time. But a lot of the Antichrist, you know, underneath him, they don't know. They don't realize that they don't win, you know. Now, the demons knew, I mean, because they asked Jesus, why are you here before our time? I mean, you know, but, you know, these, you know, I don't know if it's the twofold more sons of hell or who it is that they need reminded.
Yeah, the fire and brimstone, you know, preaching, it had an effect, and you can tell that it's not, you know, it's not in the land anymore because the people don't hear it. You know, all they watch the Disney movies and think that when they die, they just turn to dust and float up and become stars in the sky and one with the universe, and it just ain't that way.
Yeah,
you know, that's just a Disney movie, people. It's not real life. Eternity is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, eternally away from God, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, that's not the hell of a place that I want to spend. It's not. Well, there's the phone line again, just as we were looking to go in a different direction. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Oh, good morning. You forgot to give credit to Irving Applebaum when you were talking about Johnny Appleseed. He's the guy who created Crossbreed International and hired a couple of Israelite agronomists to create three breeds that would be the only thing you'd be able to find in any of the food stores.
Well, we weren't going to give any credit to him because he's got his credit coming due.
You bet. You bet. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Applebaum. That was a good one. That was a good one. That was.
As you see over there in the Olympics, I guess, only got like three out of the six housing units done, and people who are going into those housing units are the water. They can't drink the water. And apparently they can't shower either because the water has some sort of chemicals in it that burns your skin. And some of the, like Sean White, I guess, he's a world-class snowboarder or something, refused to even compete in one of the events yesterday because it wasn't safe. So that whole thing is falling apart on him too, it looks like.
Yeah. How about that? The I just saw a thing. I forget who was it, Jason. Either you guys or the guys on Solutions last night were talking about it, about how one of the rings didn't light up. You know, when they always light up the five colored Olympic rings. It's like the last one. I think the red one didn't light up. So yeah, they have. They've kind of had a mess over there with trying to. I heard they were something about the. You know, at the opening ceremonies, the seats literally were still, the paint was still wet on the seats and in the places they were there. And it's amazing. Just the things that the world is trying to do, just it doesn't seem like it's, you know, they want to have the Super Bowl on the coldest day at the coldest stadium. And, you know, EMTs are having to treat people for heat stroke in the bus stations, you know, as they're trying to get there. And the weather is just not cooperating with the people and
well, I mean, when you go to build a house or you go to remodel a house, nothing stays on schedule. Can you imagine? I mean, I remember when they had it in Salt Lake, however many years ago it was, they weren't completely prepared either. And I'm sure it was way better than it is in Russia.
Yeah.
But you know, when you can't you know, take into account everything that's going to come your way, whether it's a storm by God or whatever it is. You know, I mean, you're going to have wet seats the day before you need them. I mean, that's just because you take a little project and it does that. You know, let alone huge.
I think they're just running out of power. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Willis over in Southern Illinois. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good, Willis. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, listen, are you trying to say that everything we see on TV is not true?
Well, I think a lot of it's true.
Pray for discernment.
It's in a different truth than it's presented in a different way than the people think it is. You know how that goes.
Okay, so when we die, we don't actually turn into particles and float up into the sky. Doggone it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it sure seems like that, because you see that on... our children have watched Disney movies and kid movies and stuff over the years. It just seems to be that's how these... Like John mentioned, these freedom from religion people, because they believe the no fear. They don't know, they're sons of hell and they do know, or they're twofold more sons of hell and they don't know what comes. That this life is not eternal here.
You know, you guys were talking about the crosses, and down here in southern Illinois, a little town called Alto Pass. There's a pretty good high hill. We don't have any mountains down here. And anyway, for years, maybe 50 years or longer, there had been a cross. It was, oh gosh, it's got to be 100, 150 feet high. Steel panels, a little shop there near it. And it, over the years, had fallen into disrepair, fallen apart basically. And so everybody was trying to gather and get funding to get this thing repaired. And some atheist from Chicago had filed a lawsuit because there was going to be a little state money thrown towards it. And, of course, the state money got thrown away from it. And everybody got together and brought that thing into better than new condition. Of course, they had their Easter sunrise service and all that there every spring. But, the people in the area got together and rebuilt that thing better than new. So it's a bright white steel panel that lights on it 24/7 cross.
I've been looking on eBay trying to find all these crosses they've been taking down so we can put them, you know, have our people put them up on their private land where they're... where they're going to be seen, you know, because a lot of our people have good locations.
This was
high traffic area.
This was a huge cross. You can, on a clear day, you can see it for miles.
So, yeah.
But hey, you know, I don't know, I haven't heard you guys talk about it any, but praise God, I've found a new way to listen. I don't do computers, and, you know, occasionally shortwave doesn't come in all that good, but... my son George told me, he was looking on the website there and found a phone number that you can call and actually listen to the radio 24/7. And,
yep.
Praise God, I had unlimited phone minutes on my cell phone. So, between shortwave and telephone, Scriptures for America is on in my house, all day, every day.
You can listen on your phone if you have a smartphone, too.
That's one thing that, you know, used to not be feasible because so many people, you had to, you know, you were paying by the minute for your phone time. And now with all the unlimited minute programs and packages that people have with their home lines and their cell phones, it really worked out well.
It does. It does. Have we, I don't have that number right here in front of me. Do you have that number on you, Willis? We'll give it out to the people. I just don't have it here in this back office. Or Jason, if you've got it.
I'll walk over to my other phone.
Something Todd put together, wasn't it?
Let's see.
There it is. There it is. Right
it
there.
Is.
That's right. You got to cut that down or it'll feedback.
832. Oh.
Go ahead.
999. 1732. 1792. I was trying to call it up on my phone again here, and I lost it.
All right.
Yeah, that number again is 832-999-1792.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. Well, Willis, thanks so much.
And whenever the radio's not coming in clear, I just give that number a call, and comes in great.
Well, hey, thanks for the call and thanks for sharing that with everybody.
You guys have a blessed weekend.
All right, you too.
You too.
And we might have time. We got one more caller here. Good morning, caller. Got about a minute.
Okay, this is Edie again. One quick thing. Somebody run into me last year, and the first thing they did, it started getting suspicious to me when the guy that hit me started shaking the hand of the police officer who was investigating. And even though he, you know, he was the one that hit me, the police officer, they gave that funny kind of handshake. So, you know, and was telling him how he could get out of paying the ticket, you know, and all this kind of stuff. The thing of it is, these people are not all that a secret society. They're the people we go to church with, that we take square dance lessons with. They work in your city government where you pay your water bill.
That's a fact.
And
yeah.
They may or may not know what they're doing.
Yep.
You're right.
Helping their buddies out.
Good point.
Okay, well, I'll let you go. I just wanted to don't make it seem light by calling it, you know, a secret society, because it's not all that secret. It's right in our face. And y'all be good, and bye.
Thank you, Edie.
It is. That's why, you know, we should pray also for discernment all the time, because it is right in our face, you know, and it's shocking sometimes when you see one of your fellow brethren not be able to see something, but you might have another fellow brethren that's looking at you in shock that you don't see something, because it is right in front of our face. It's everywhere, you know.
Yep.
It is. Well, guys, we're about out of time again.
I don't like secret little funny handshakes anyway, do you?
No. No, I don't know any of them. That's why I don't know. Well, we thank you for joining us out there, Remnant. We do want to invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. Come to the website, scripturesforamerica.org, and click on the little live videos streaming icon at the upper left-hand corner. And that starts at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And join us for church. Join us for fellowship, for praise and worship, little review of the news. John will have a welcome for you and some scriptures, and we'll have some music and communion service, of course, and a Holy Spirit-inspired message from Pastor Peter. So we do ask you to and invite you to come if you want to come to church Saturday morning. Well, thanks for joining us, men. We'll go out with this song. Pastor sure liked it. We'll see you at church tomorrow, guys.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them more,
snake hide. Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting,
be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, big high.